Reichman University.
מה, את פריירית?
נאה, ממש לא.
Confessions of two reformed פריירים. Showing you the chutzpah needed to survive with my beanie and Becky Sasson.
Hello, and you're listening to the Confessions of Two Reformed Frariot with your hosts, Rebecca.
And Mai.
On Audioversity. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
How are you?
I'm good. How have you been? Saw you this morning. How have you been?
I haven't seen you all day.
So much.
No, I'm good.
We're at the end of the semester.
Yes.
It's just insane.
We're trying to push through and just end on a good note.
No, because I literally remember, like, yesterday going to the orientation and be like, what the fuck is this shit?
I did not go.
It was like, you didn't go at all?
I was on Zoom.
Ah, I went to those 2 days. Like, it was two days where, what was it? It was like starting at 4, ending at 8. And it was raining. It was raining the whole time. Or it was like dark. It was something like that.
An orientation?
Yeah, it was just like 2 days.
No. Yeah.
Squashed into nothing.
I said, I'm not coming because it's a... It's so dark and rainy.
And then you didn't get to meet me.
But then I did. Okay. So, today, we're going to do a different episode. And we're going to get someone with a whole different perspective on what it means to live in Israel. And how they see Olim Chadashim. Today, we have Koral! Yay!
Hi, everyone. My name is Koral. And I'm actually studying with both Becky and Mai communications.
All our guests have been communicating. Everyone's sounds like, yeah, we're in the first year of communicating. We're like, yeah.
So I'm first year student, obviously. I was born and raised in Israel, and my family lives in the north. And I'm 26 years old. Kind of sounds weird because most of the students in our class are like,
wait, how old are you?
26.
Did you know this?
Yeah.
Look,
what?
No, I swear I didn't know this.
You didn't know this? Is it girl! Because of, it's because of my kukiyot? Everyone thinks I'm 21, but it's whatever.
Kukiyot is
the puka,
yeah. The kuka,
like the puka.
No, this is the first time hearing.
Really?
This. I thought you were like 22, 23.
Oh, such a compliment.
No, it's
thanks.
So nice that you're 26. It's yeah, maturity. It's
yeah, yeah. So 26. Although, like, I think it's very normal in Israel. You know, like after. I mean, I didn't do the army, but obviously, like most people go to the university around 24-25. For me, yeah, it's different. And I chose Reichman obviously because it's international and I wanted to meet, you know, international students because I know that people do Aliyah and they come to Israel. Yeah, pretty much that's about it. Like, in
wait,
general.
But can I ask you, so yeah, did you finish high school at 18?
Okay, yes, I did. So I'm going to tell you a bit about myself,
yeah,
to make it like more clear. So technically, I finished my senior year of high school in the States. I got a scholarship to do an exchange year.
Whoa. Nice.
Interesting, where? Right? Springfield, Missouri.
Whoa.
Missouri.
Nahon, like Missouri. So I technically got a scholarship, did my senior year of high school. When I came back, I was supposed to like do my Begrut exams. I did that on my own because my high school did not support me, so I ended up like finishing the Begrut exams, also like doing the SAT, doing the TOEFL, got accepted in a private university in New York. I wanted to start college around the age of 21, but then pretty much it was not a full scholarship. From here to there, I said I'm gonna work. COVID skipped
in
that.
America work, or you came back
like,
already?
I came back already. Okay. I missed that part. So the minute I finished my senior year of high school, I came back because I was on a student visa only for 1 year.
Okay.
So I had to come back, you know, do the Begrut exams and do like go through the entire process. And then all of a sudden I'm 21.
It hits you like a brick.
It does. So at the age of 21, I realized I could not get a full scholarship to go back to the States. So I said, let's work. And I did that. And then I said, okay, I'm going to apply to a business school in Spain. And then COVID hit and we were home for 3 years. And then when I turned 24, I was like, okay, I did not start college when I wanted to. So what am I going to do with my life right now? So I ended up moving to the South for 2 years because mental health. Also, I liked the place in the South. I was supposed to be there for 6 months. I ended up being there for 2 years.
Wow.
I worked at a Six Senses resort.
Amazing.
I know, right?
Yeah? Do you know this resort?
No, apparently I don't know anything this podcast. I don't know anything this episode.
Yeah. It's the most bougie resort. Really?
Where is this?
Ever in Mitzpah? The south.
It's after Mitzpah. It's like an hour.
In the south.
What? No, it's this. Like a...
It's an hour from Mitzpah. It's like, do you know the Shizafon? Like,
of course, I was like in Elat for my...
So it's about 45 minutes from Elat.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like next to Kibbutz called Shacharut, and that's why it's beautiful. Called Six Senses Shacharut. Yeah.
You've been like at the hotel?
I wish.
Oh, you haven't been at the hotel?
Is it expensive? It's very expensive.
Girl, I was like, Ma, I want to go to a spa. It's going to be fun. Me and my boyfriend, we looked at the prices. Imale.
It's too much. Oh my God. It is too much. I'm telling you, like, and because I worked there for 2 years, I even have like my own standards now. When I go to a restaurant, like, you would see me like checking out, like I would be like checking out the cup and the, you know, the fork and everything. It's because like I lived there for 2 years and I worked there for 2 years. It was just like, it's different.
You slept at the resort?
No, I wish, dude.
So where did you stay?
I wish. I stayed in a kibbutz called Neve Charif. So it's a kibbutz that was split into half. So the first half, it was like the people of the kibbutz. And the second half, it was, they created kind of like hosts village that we had like, you know, roommates, and we had a gym, and actually we had a pool that was opened last year. So that was fun.
Wow, I miss kibbutz life, like that chillness.
I know,
the
right?
The chill of waking up and I don't know what it was like.
Oh, I love city life. I like, go.
No,
go.
City life's fun, but there's something about that the kibbutz vibe. Like,
yeah, I agree with
mental
you.
Mental health wise is really great.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's
right.
Slow and it's chilling, and you're like waking up and you're
exactly
doing a little smoky smoke.
Yeah, and you drink your coffee by the pool. And
cigarettes,
yeah.
I don't do drugs.
Yeah, we believe you. but the kibbutz was interesting. I mean, as someone, you know, I was raised, like, I was born and raised in a village, like Arabs village. So just living in the kibbutz for 2 years. And, you know, also before that, I lived in Haifa when I was like 20. I have a new perspective. Like, if I'm going to stay in Israel forever, I think I might just move to a kibbutz and work in the city, because it does change something about you. Like, it does change something to the, like, for the good and for the bad. Like, for the bad, for me now, I don't, like, it gives me anxiety just getting on the bus because it's too crowded. But for the good, like, I feel like I'm more calm, and like, you know, I take my time to understand things, and and like, I really care about my mental health, and like, about yoga and meditation and everything related to that. So it was interesting to live there for 2 years, and obviously to work in Six Senses.
And you grew up in an Arab city, and what?
In an Arab village, it's okay. Called Abu Snan.
Okay.
And if we want to translate that, it's like Abu, it's like his father, and Snan is teeth. So
his father's teeth?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
So it's a Druze.
Shine Abba.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, how
it
am
sounds
I gonna,
so weird.
Yeah, like Snan is teeth, and
it sounds
Abu,
better in Arabic.
Yeah.
I bet. But it's a Druze village. It's
Oh, ah, really?
Yeah, okay. So it's Druze, Muslim, Christians, which is interesting. And I lived there most of my life, obviously, except for the part that I lived in Haifa for 1 year, and then I lived in the States for 1 year, and I was in the South for 2 years. But I lived most of my life there.
So I've always wondered, like, is it closed-knit community? Like, do a lot of people usually stay and continue the family, you know, there? Or is it like, do people like to branch out and move out? Like, how does it, like, oh, more the Ofi, yeah, like
personality?
Yeah, the personality of the village, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
The vibe.
I do believe it depends. It depends. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but if I want to describe it, I would say you have both, because with the time, I feel like my parents' generation is different than my generation. The people from, like, the people in my generation, they want to branch out and to leave, mm-hmm, and like, yeah, live in the city. But let's say my uncles, they would never leave this village. They would want to stay in it forever and ever. But their sons maybe might want to leave it, maybe not. So I think it depends on the family background that you come from.
So did you go to school in the village?
Oh, so
or was it outside too?
So in the village, I was there till ninth grade. Mm-hmm. For sophomore and junior year, of high school, I went to a different village. And I didn't like that because it was too much for so many different reasons. It was a village, only like a Muslim Arabs village. So it was a bit hard because I came from a different background. I came from a village where I had Druze, Christians, Muslims in my class. And I'm a Muslim, but I used to go to the church with my best friend, you know, like on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was part of the church youth. Youth group, sorry.
Seems like a more open village, the one that you grew up in.
I would say yes. And also maybe it's my family that were more open because we lived in such a village. But other than that, like, you know, I was there until my ninth grade, and then different village for high school.
And this was like international? Because then how did you get to America? I want to know.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting question. So, watching High School Musical, I've always wanted.
Of course.
I've always
Troy?
I've always wanted to live in the States. And I learned English by watching like movies.
That's how you learn, Ashka. Wow.
Yeah, that's how I learned English. And I've always like wanted to live in the States. And when I was struggling during my junior year of high school, I also had the option when I was junior in high school to like go to the Technion and start my bachelor degree. Because I was doing some math course. I used to be a nerd, not now, not anymore.
Those days are behind.
Yeah, right? They're so behind. But then I was like, okay, what do I want to do? So I was searching and searching, and then like I found out that there's a program that's called YES, Youth Exchange and Study.
Okay.
It's a fully funded program by the U.S. Embassy that they give like 20 scholarships to 20 students from the Arab communities to go and live in the States to do...
Israel?
In Israel. So it's a fully funded program by the U.S. Embassy for Israeli Arabs.
Whoa.
So you go to the States, you live in the States.
Yeah.
Obviously, you cannot come and visit. You need to be there for 1 year. You can do either your sophomore, junior, or senior year of high school. But the minute you come back, you need to do your Bagrut exams because the high school system in the States, it's very different than the one in Israel.
Okay.
So, and obviously, I said I'm going to give it a try. So about 300-something student applied. We did a test. 50 passed the test. The 50, we had an interview. 25 out of 50 passed the interview. And then they sent our applications to the U.S. Embassy in the States and whoever is like running the program abroad. And they chose 20 out of 25.
Mm-hmm.
And then like they said, okay, so I obviously like, I was in the program, so I couldn't choose the state that I wanted to be in. So they chose it for me, and I actually had two host families. The first one was a temporary host family that the mom was a Jewish mom, like she was she was Jewish, but she was not religious. She was like she was even atheist, which was funny. But her son actually was in Israel like 2 to 3 times. And I think he was too excited to meet me, which was nice because like it kind of felt like home being in their house. You know what I mean? So I was there for 3 months, but then she had like health problems. So they moved me to a different host family, but I stayed in touch with her.
Mm-hmm.
We used to meet every weekend for the yoga or like do like vocal lessons together. And she was like 70 plus something.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, she is. And she's still alive. And that was like and that was like 10 years ago. So that's how I got in the program, and that's the program. It's not easy to get in, and I would say if your high school doesn't support you, it might be a bit of pain to like when you come back and you need to do all of your Bagrut exams, and you go through like instead of finishing your Bagrut exams in 1 year, it takes you 2 years. But for me, I wasn't in a rush. Anyways, I did the experience I wanted to go through, and I was happy about it. So I don't regret it.
So you know a little bit of American culture, I would assume.
I do. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you
There was a culture shock.
For sure. She was running around America being like, do you know Troy Boyleton? Do you know High School Musical?
Actually, I was expecting in my high school at least like to have people just dancing in the middle of the, but that did not happen. Like, that disappointed me.
Why are we not breaking into song right now? Can someone tell me?
But I would say that my high school was interesting. It was a big, big high school. And I lived in Springfield, Missouri, and it was like hard times back then. And I remember one time, and that's a culture shock because it doesn't happen here, at least in our high schools, that kids can bring a gun to high school. Mm-hmm. And they, we literally had a, like, they literally, yeah.
We Hello, had, welcome to America.
You didn't know
like,
that?
Like, not literally, the legal bring a gun to school.
Oh, illegally.
It is illegal, yeah.
Ah, okay. I'm swallowing I thought you meant words. Legally.
No, no, like, it literally, someone brought a gun.
Like, someone can. Is it legal? No, but it's someone not. Can.
No, so I'm saying, I thought it was, like, legal to bring guns no, yeah, it was to not. School.
She got me. Yeah. Sorry for my English.
I know I'm American.
What did he just like?
So he brought a gun.
Shalafik Dach, like, took a gun out of his.
So that's the thing. He tried to give it to some girl at school, and it's a funny story. He tried.
Was he proposing? What is he doing?
I don't know. So she didn't want to take it. So she threw the bag that had the gun in it, and we were in the cafeteria. It's an open like cafeteria kind of thing where you have tables. And we heard the sound of it. Yay. And kid you not, they locked the school. Parents could not like reach us out. My host family was like freaking out. But I had my host brother and my host sister with me in the like in the same school. So it was good. And if the parents were calling the school, they would get an automatic message saying that we're safe. Everything
oh my
is good.
God.
So they locked the school. And then and I was like, what is going on? This like this never happened in my high school, at least. And I don't know any like anything that ever happened in any of Israel. High school.
Yeah, we don't have that in Thailand either. They took you literally from the most conflict-ridden country to this high school with like guns and problems. And like, why?
I know, right? And then like I think my host family, like my host sister was one time confused because in Israel, like at least at my family, how we spread like, you know, chocolate or whatever on a bread, it's like with a
with a knife.
Not with a knife.
Spoon?
With a spoon. But in the US, they do it with a knife. So she was like, what are you doing? I was like, spreading my chocolate, my jam, whatever is it. And she's like, that's weird. You're supposed to use a knife. And I was like, no, you use a spoon. So it was a culture shock for them, too.
So, this is so funny. I don't know. I never thought about that.
Really?
You don't? Oh, I think I do both.
You know what people had culture shock for me?
What?
In Thailand, we don't use knives either. Like in a proper Thai Asian household, there won't be any knives that are like, you know, the spoon, fork, knife. There's only a knife for the meat, like for the meat in the middle.
Okay.
Okay.
So I didn't really use knives here. Like when I cut my schnitzel, like a fried chicken or something, I use a.
You know what schnitzel?
Fork. I don't know if they don't know. Fried chicken. In case you're a flyer and you don't know what.
Wait, I'm confused. What about Thailand? You lived in Thailand?
Yeah. So
what?
Wait, I'll tell, oh, story and then I'll tell you. We have to recap anyways for our new viewers. But so like I remember like being in the army and then like taking my schnitzel, my fried chicken, or schnitzel after oat as they call it, which is surprise chicken. You never know what's in there. You don't know if it's meat or whatever.
Or if it's corn or whatever.
And I'd sit there and I'm like cutting it with my fork and spoon. And these people are just
fork and spoon.
Yeah. And these people are like looking at me. You can't even see me right now, but they're just giving me the craziest looks. So what? This is how I eat. This
fork
is
and
my
spoon?
This is my thing. Yeah, but no, there's a word for it. I just don't know. So it's funny because it's a culture shock for them, but it's not for me. And everybody has their own little thing.
That's funny.
And it's really, really small things. But yeah, I was born here. I moved when I was 2 to Thailand, and then with Becky in 2018, I did Aliyah to a pre-army program. But we ended up being in different like.
Kibbutzim,
which is
commune village.
Why did I think that you were American the entire time and you made Aliyah whenever you made Aliyah?
Because first of all, I sound American, and we literally had an episode about this where I hate people who call me American. But yeah,
interesting.
We're getting to know each other
exactly.
Right,
how we never had this conversation
I don't
before?
How I didn't know what your age was.
26 for the shock.
All right, yeah. Anyways, so you've been in America, and obviously you've been in Israel, and I'm pretty sure you've encountered Olim Chadashim before.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And you know, they come in all shapes and sizes. Thailand. America.
South Africa. I've met so many South Africans in Reichmann, more than I have in my whole ever. Life. I swear. Every second person is like, I'm South African. I'm like, what?
Why are they coming here too?
It's very surprising. I don't know.
It is.
But what's your experience with Olim Chadashim?
Oh, that's interesting. It's kind of...
Olim Chadashim is new immigrant, sorry.
Yeah.
We have to say.
It's interesting because where I used to work, they thought I was Ola Chadasha, like I made Aliyah, which I did not, obviously. But it was because of my accent in Hebrew. It would sound very Spanish. And I had one manager that did Aliyah, which was really funny. But I would say one of my recent experiences that one person in our class didn't know I was an Arab. Because obviously it's Israel and it's a Jewish country. So why would be there an Arab in the class, you know? It was when I was texting my sister in Arabic and he literally looked at me and he was like, what is that? I was like, Arabic. And he asked me if I know Arabic. I was like, I'm an Arab. And he was like, what? And he didn't know I was an Arab. And I was like, and then we stayed after class, we discussed it. It was a weird first impression.
Do you feel offended when these things happen, or it's more like, oh, these people just it happens, it does miscommunication
happen.
Or
I think it's miscommunication and
misinformation.
Misinformation from the media. That's why I never get offended, to be honest. And I would say even when I lived in the States, as an Arab, when I was part of that program, even the Arabs, the Arabs that live abroad, let's say in Kuwait, Qatar, whatever, they didn't know I exist. They didn't know that Israeli Arabs exist. So I think from that day, I learned not to get offended if someone didn't know I existed. And with Olim Chadashim, it's kind of it's funny because they have a specific perspective about Arabs in general, about... Mm-hmm. And then you talk to them and then it's different, you know? And I think they add a bit of spice to the country. So I like meeting them. So I love meeting them all the time. I don't get offended ever. And I just love talking with them and having different conversations. But I think it was very funny, kind of weird that he didn't know that I was an Arab just because I look... he said, and I quote, "You look like every Tel Aviv girl. How would I know that you're an Arab? And I go to the Reichman." So it's whatever.
That's why representation is so important. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting political right now, but representation is everything.
It is.
So I'm happy these little programs exist for you to go to America and for you to be able to come to Reichman, obviously, and meet other people. So people actually broaden their horizons. But going back to what our podcast is called, being a fire, which is what, Becky?
A fire is a sucker.
Anybody who doesn't know, you are one.
A fire is a sucker, someone who's very naive, someone that is taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And do people try to make you, Israelis, try to make you a fire?
It depends. I think it depends. I would say that people from my community made me feel frier just because I'm going to the international school at Reichman. If I know Hebrew, then I'm not going to the Israeli school.
Okay.
So they literally told me to my face, you're a friar. I mean, it's easier to study in English and it's more fun.
It is. I also don't get what the difference is between us. I mean...
I think the only difference is going to the international school, which is amazing that we have this option in Israel. Because, I mean, for you to meet international... international people from different backgrounds, it's either you need to work in the city to meet Olim Chadashim.
Yeah.
Or you need to go abroad and study. But Reichman offers you an international program.
Yeah, it does.
Which is amazing.
Also, a lot of Israelis do come study in the international program.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they...
I don't get it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's because...
I asked one of them, though. They said it's because the degree looks better in English.
That's what they tried to tell you, but I don't know what's different.
On your certificate, it says that you went to the International School of Reichman.
For me, I'm still debating if to go to the Israeli school next year or to stay in this one, because I think I'm going to just like it better. If I stay here, because I feel I fit I fit more with the international students, yeah, like, and with the Olim Chadashim, and like with the Israeli school, you have to be like rich and bougie to go to Reichman.
I know. I keep seeing these girls. Now I'm all for a good Louis bag. Yeah, I have my Louis Vuitton bag and Prada bags and whatever. But sometimes they come and they look like they're going to a business meeting.
It's a fashion show. It is a fashion show, dude.
Like, I don't know. It's sometimes too much. It's too much of a flex. Like, I don't like it.
And I'm too broke for that.
Yeah, and you see people like in the international school, everyone looks like they just woke up.
Yeah.
So have you ever, like, when you were in America, felt a flyer?
I would say yes. It depends. I felt like a flyer. Now all of a sudden I'm about to speak in Hebrew. When, like, for example, when I would go to Subway to buy a sandwich or whatever, I would think the price is what it's like what I am paying.
The new deli in Israel is Subway.
It's like it's the price that I'm paying. Like, if it says $5, then I'm paying that. But mm-hmm. no, every store, every restaurant I went to, they would add a price to it, yeah. which is the taxes. But like, why they wouldn't do it the Israeli way where they include
it's already included. Yeah. I don't know.
I already know that it's included and I'm fried it already, but I'm used to this. But that's one of the times that I really felt it just like hit me in my heart every yeah. time.
Is it like that in Thailand? Is the tax included already in the price?
The tax is included, but it's obviously like the tax and tips are included in the bill, mm-hmm. but it's very obvious that you have to leave another tip. Yeah.
What?
Especially for foreigners, especially for like
I want to say white people, but
I mean like anybody who isn't Thai. That's not
the tip is already included, and you have to give more.
There's a 17% tax VAT.
Oh. She's literally fried it for and living then, in Thailand.
No, so
it's not her fault.
So as a foreigner, when you come, everything is so cheap that leaving a tip is like, oh, like I just had a meal for 100 shekels. That was for my whole family. So what? I'm not going to leave a tip of 20 shekels. Do you get what I mean? But here in Israel, 100 shekels is just for yourself.
Yeah.
So foreigners, when they come to Thailand, it's like they leave tips. It's like water. It's like nothing.
It's cool, yeah.
But Thai people don't always leave tips because, again, you know that it's not. Mm-hmm. So we did because, like, even though we lived there for 25 years, like my parents.
Oh, my God.
It's that kind of mentality. But you know what? I got shocked in America that you have to leave it at least 20% tip.
Yes.
I think it's ridiculous.
You can have a cup of coffee. Like, my friend told me this and I told her, what? Like, you can have a cup of coffee. You have to leave 20% of what you paid your cup of coffee.
No, you don't.
No, but it's disrespectful, right? Like, they will look at you and
throw it. Where I was, you had to leave. Like, even if you did not enjoy the service.
Trust me, I'm from California. I know. It's when I go to Starbucks. Shout out Starbucks.
Oh, I miss Starbucks.
Yeah. Stop calling out Starbucks, people.
We love
Starbucks. Stop canceling them.
When I would go to Starbucks and they say, do you want to leave a tip? No.
Really?
They
ask that?
No, like, you know what they do? They have this little iPad that they love to use. It's a whatever you put in your order. And then they turn around the tablet. Yeah. Go, it's going to ask you a question. And then the question is, leave 18%, 20%, or 22%?
Fuck you.
Wait, I'm not for no table service?
No table service, Akhoti.
She's just ordering coffee.
I'm just ordering coffee. No. So in Thailand, it's not like that. Like, I'm talking about table service. You all have to leave tips at vending places? Yes.
Yeah, they want you to leave a tip when... Press the buttons.
And America's supposed to be the land of dreams. Why is the land of dreams? What?
It's the land of being broke as fuck.
It's insane. It's insane.
So I bought... How much does coffee cost in America? I don't know. What's dollars?
Now, let's say it's like $5.
Yeah,
for
I think
coffee you have to keep... Leave.
And then they want you to leave 20% of...
That's insane. You're leaving like another
dollar. Another $2.
Yo. Yeah.
It's a lot of money. And if you're a broke student...
But there's no tips in what you're paying.
No. It's not included.
No, it's not.
So why can't I leave 10% like I do here in Israel, or 15? I'm a very nice
they
person.
They do. They have a little button on the bottom that says custom tip or no tip.
Okay.
So you can do, like, you don't have to.
You don't
but
have to.
It's like in big, like, and they go, it's going to ask you a question.
So another question, my friend said that the waiter's tips or the worker's tips are only made up of tips. Like, sorry, their wages are only made up of tips, not general salary. Is that also right?
I can't say for every place, but I'm pretty sure they have a salary, an hourly salary, and tips.
Okay, because like here in Israel, right? How much do you make? You make like...
Huh?
It depends.
I only make tips.
No.
Mano.
If you don't have any tips, nobody left you any tips that Mishnah has.
You're supposed, you have,
you have 35. Yeah.
We have 40.
Okay, 40.
No, that's, but it's, I'm not, you but have, I don't, a base. But if I make tips, if I make tips, Bonagid, we did 80 per hour.
Yeah.
I don't get 40 per hour that I worked and the 80.
No, no, but I'm saying that if you wouldn't get tips at all, you would get the 40 base at least.
Yeah.
So but my friends they get both. In America, they don't get it.
Fuck you. Yeah, they do. They get both.
I don't know where she's from. I don't know where
they
she's
get
from.
The hourly pay. I mean, someone, if someone wants to say that I'm wrong, I'm open to it. No, seriously, I don't, I'm not sure, but from what I remember, they have their hourly wage, whatever.
And then plus the
I mean, if you're working at McDonald's, no, but like, you know, if you're working at a proper place.
Yeah.
I think it depends where you're working.
Learning so much this episode.
Also, I'm not sure for every state. We have 50 fucking states. Yeah.
Wow, that's
at least what I remember. And then people complain that they have no fucking money.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Stop going to restaurants.
Also, minimum wage now is like $18 an hour or something like that.
$18? Dude, in Israel...
Stop, maybe I'm Maxima.
No,
maybe,
but I'm in Israel, it was like... In Israel, it was like 29, and now they just raise it to 33 shekels, and that's not a lot.
That's nothing.
That's the problem nothing. In this country, though. This is something that I realized when I was traveling. For example, in Australia, from what I realized, the prices there are the same as here. It's very expensive.
What?
$16 an hour in California for minimum wage. Fast food fucking employees.
Are you shitting me right now?
We love the fast food employees.
How much is $16 in check? Right,
that's, so if you multiply that with 3.6...
58 shekels an hour.
Okay, but what is the living expenses in California?
So though.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to, at the end of the day, that's the problem here.
Same thing.
So that's the problem here, that people in Tel Aviv are making 30 an hour and they have to pay rent like 4,000 checks just them for
that's
a
why everyone is in debt.
For a 1 meter by meter.
Yeah, that's why everyone,
meter by meter.
That's why everyone is in debt. Like, living in this country is hella expensive, I would say.
So like, how do you see like Olim Chadashim where they're like, they left, you've been to America and you see how like awesome it is, and then they come here and you're like, what do you, like, what do you how do you see them?
If I ask myself for them, like, why did they leave the States? That's a good question. I mean, for me, I always wanted to leave, like, to leave Israel. I always wanted to live in the US, but like, as I become older, I realize how much I love this country. I mean, I don't think, and sorry if I'm offending any American, but I don't think the US is like selling the American dream how it used to sell it. And I don't think that America has the same opportunities as once had. When I just came back from the States, I would be like, why are they leaving the States? That's so dumb. That's so stupid. Like, I wanted to go back so bad, you know, for different reasons. I wanted to live in the US because I really liked it. I have American friends and I felt I have many opportunities and I can express myself more because obviously I kind of feel most of the time I don't fit in my community in general. But then, you know, like recently, or like, let's say in the past 2-3 years, I started to realize why many people make Aliyah, because it's not the US, it's not what it used to be. I mean, it depends on each person's experience, but I think now I'm starting to understand them and I understand why they are leaving the US. But someone like making Aliyah from Switzerland, no offense, but I don't understand. Why would someone leave Switzerland? The US, I understand, but it's whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so do you have any tips for all our Olim Chadashim, how not to be a friar?
Okay. I would say stay strong. It's very important to stay strong. And if we're talking about staying strong, I know that, you know, making Aliyah to Israel is not an easy process, and neither living in Israel is an easy thing. I mean, even for the ones that were born and raised in Israel, myself, I still struggle with it every day. It's hard. If it is culture shock, if it is like, you know, trying to get to know people, if it is like trying new things or trying to fit in, it takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of time. And talk about it. The more you talk about it, the easier it becomes. And don't try only to become friends with Olim Chadashim, like try to become friends with Israelis, because they're gonna help you not to be frayer. They're gonna teach you how to become Israeli. You know, like, when it comes to everything, even like when it comes to talking because I feel like Olim Chadashim are very polite, and if you're Israeli, you're like very Israeli. If you want to get something, you're gonna get it.
Chutzpah,
exactly. Chutzpah Israelit. I love that. So that's my advice to you. Like, you know, stay strong. Talk about it. Try to make friends as many as possible. And that's about it, I guess.
We really appreciate you, Koral.
Thank you
for being on our podcast. I think it was so nice to hear like another perspective, and I hope we can talk about other things too.
Hopefully in the future. Thank you for having me.
Have you again.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. Of course.
So thank you again for all you listeners that are listening. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, don't forget, don't be a frayer.
Not frayerit.
Nah. Mamash lo.
Confessions of two reformed frayerim. Showing you the chutzpah needed to survive with my beanie and Becky Sasson.
All our shows and podcasts available online on our website and on all podcast platforms. Search Audioversity.